Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode. Well, I want to welcome my friend Nate Leo to the podcast. Nate, how are you today?
Doing pretty good. Enjoying this nice, sunny, warm day in New Jersey.
Awesome. I didn't know New Jersey got sunny days. I'm just kidding. I went to Jersey once. It was great. Where are you? Medford?
Yeah, I'm in Medford, New Jersey. It's like 15 minutes outside Philadelphia.
Okay. Awesome. And tell the folks who are listening, do you remember when you were like, hey, I want to get in that business? Do you remember what instigated that decision for you?
For me, it was when I was taking some college courses. I needed an extra elective to finish my finance degree.
Okay.
It was a financial planning course. So I just took it.
Up to that point, you're in finance, you know, that can mean a lot of things. What did you want to do?
I mean, everyone's dream, I feel like when they're in their freshman year of college, is I want to be an investment banker.
Okay.
So,
but I was always frank, Nate, you had no idea what that really meant. You're like, I don't know what they do. I just know that for them, you know, like, what are you investing in? What bank do you work for? Or do you actually work at a bank? You know?
Yeah. All we knew was they made a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I want to do that.
Right. All I know is they make TV shows about them. And so I want to be that person.
Exactly.
So you're going to school for finance and there was a financial planning elective?
Yeah. So they actually have a financial planning major at my alma mater. I wasn't a part of it. I just took one of the courses that they had.
Nice.
That was intro to planning.
Yeah. We've actually had a couple of colleges reach out to us to have Sten talk to their classes and stuff like that. So if you're a college kid and you want to talk to your classes, let us know. Or Nate, you can just do it because apparently you're the expert. So yeah. So tell us about what was give me an example of sort of a rude awakening when you got into the business and you realized this is harder than maybe they told me it was going to be. Can you think of some times when you were like, wait a minute, I want to be an investment banker now?
I mean, for me, it was I moved to Virginia right out of college.
Uh-huh.
With my fiance. So I had no natural market down there.
Right.
So it was like, hey, like you're into the industry now. You're 2 weeks in. Have fun. You're on your own.
Yeah.
Here's a mentor, which my firm is pretty great at. Hooking you up with a nice mentor. But it was still, I had no natural market to work with. So it was definitely a little bit of struggle in that area to start.
Yeah. So why do you think you're still in the business? What helped you survive?
For me, it was definitely the teaming aspect that our firm had in place. My mentor, Jared, that I work with now, still, he was great at just guiding me down that path and always saying hey, you may be struggling just to start or you're barely staying above water, but as long as you stay the course and do these things, you'll be fine 2 years, 3 years down the road.
Yeah. So, you know, I think when some people hear teaming, they hear someone gets half of your commission, right? That's all they hear. All that means is subtraction, right? But what is it about teaming in the way that you've done it and the way you continue to do it that you feel like is worth it?
For me, at least in the beginning, the teaming was huge just because I didn't have the knowledge in the beginning. So Jared, he was a CFP. So I would find a client that could be a potential planning client, but without him, there wouldn't have been much value brought if I was the only person there.
Right.
So adding the team members can help fix your shortfalls, or as Sten likes to say, they have superpowers that you don't have.
Sure. Yeah. So you start teaming. How long were you with? Have you switched companies at any point in your career?
No, I've been here with Prudential for all 3 years. Actually, today was my third year anniversary.
Awesome. Now, I think there's something that's interesting when with experience. I find this fascinating that someone who's longer than 3 years might start to sort of tune out now. Like, oh, I've been in it longer, right? But that's like saying, hey, I've been in the NBA for 10 years. And it's like, okay, but how many points do you score? Right? Meaning, like, how good are you? Right? And I want folks to stay tuned in and stay focused, because I've been really challenged this week by people that are different stages and places in life that I've gotten really great advice from. And, you know, they make less money than me, or, you know, they have less kids than me, or they've been married less time than me. It's all these things that you could sort of discount them. But in reality, it's like, oh, I have some things to learn from that. So I just want to encourage folks, you know, stay teachable, stay humble. It's always helpful. So what do you feel like are some of your superpowers that you have developed over your 3 years? And thinking about that language, you know, we have an EAN course that we've released recently at gobeelite.com. You can go get that. It's a series of videos. And one of the things we talk about is superpowers. How do you perceive or understand superpowers? How has it helped you? And then what is your superpower that you have and you're going to continue to develop?
It helped me because in the beginning, I was kind of doing a little bit of everything and not getting a lot done. Where now I've kind of fine-tuned my superpower. One of them is just, I look at any stranger as a potential new friend or person to connect with.
Yeah.
So client acquisition and working with my team, I've kind of taken the role of being the head of client acquisition.
Right.
On top of that, just working with EAN, definitely communicating the value of some planning and whiteboarding. I've gotten really strong out and like kind of creating my own concepts on top of what's already been out there.
Yeah.
Probably my top two superpowers right now.
Okay. So getting in front of people, because no one is a stranger. They're just a friend you haven't met yet, right? I love that. Yeah. I love that phrasing. You know, are you a stranger? No, we just haven't become friends yet. It's just give it 5 minutes and we'll become bros, you know? And then the other, remind me the other one. The other was the quantifying, right?
Yeah, showing value and whiteboarding now have become a superpower.
Nice. Real quick sidebar, like, what's your favorite things to whiteboard? What are you like, man, if I give me a whiteboard, give me a marker, give me a napkin, give me a pen.
My top concept. Yeah. The top concept is one I kind of stole from the book Essentialism.
It's not stealing if it's free. Okay. You pay for the book. That's fine. And let's remind folks real quick, Nate, a concept is something that necessarily isn't quantifiable, but it helps your clients make other decisions.
Yeah.
As in relating to working with you. So what is the concept? And is it for business owners or?
This is for anybody in general.
Okay.
So I'll draw the circle that's in the book and put 10 arrows that come out of it. And I'll say, hey, like right now I find most clients, their financial plan is a collection of products that aren't working necessarily in the same direction.
Wow.
Our planning process helps align all facets of your financial world to work in that same direction. And I'll draw the same circle with a line that goes 10 times further just because that same amount of energy going one way gets you more return.
Give me an example of that. I'm going to play devil's advocate real quick. So here we go. I'm a client and I go, like what? Like what could be, you know, you don't know anything about my finances right now, but give me as an example, what would be something in my financial plan that if you look at it, you're like, yeah, that person has you going in two different directions, man.
I mean, probably the low-hanging fruit would be just like an old life insurance policy. If someone's paying a hefty premium into a policy that they don't need anymore, if their debt has significantly decreased or their stage of life has changed, that's just money out of their pocket that's going to left field when they should be focusing on going to the right field.
Right. Do you find that once you explain that to people, you're able to uncover things in their plan? Because I think that people do resonate. That's a line Sten uses. They resonate with we find that most people's quote unquote financial plans, which I wish he would add quote unquote, but he hasn't yet. Quote unquote financial plans, because it questions the legitimacy that is an actual financial plan, right? that we find that most people who have quote unquote financial plans actually just have a collection of products. They just bought a lot of stuff and that's your quote unquote plan, which means it's not a plan, right? It's finances, but it's not a plan, right? Yeah. You know, so when you're talking with people, what are the things that they latch onto that you talk about, Nate, that they go, oh, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. What are the kind of things that as an advisor, your competition would be like, oh crap, I should have talked about that. And I'm going to lose him now because Nate made it cohesive, right?
I guess the biggest thing I've been finding with recent clients I've got for planning is just that they've talked to somebody, but they immediately jump to a solution right away in that first meeting. So just kind of taking that time to take a few steps back and look at it from like a 10,000 foot view, I find that a lot of people, at least in my situation, haven't been doing with their clients. Or
don't they think that there's some clients who just want to get like, hey, I want to get it done. So how do you handle someone who doesn't want their time to be wasted, but you also want to take some time with them to really figure out what their true needs are? How do you deal with that?
So for that, I would say I would show them like and quantify on the whiteboard the value of just like, hey, like there's time, risk, taxes. What do you want to focus on? I know you're looking at, hey, I want to spend the least amount of time as possible with this plan.
Right.
But just adding the extra time may increase performance, increase just your cash flow, how you're managing that.
So when you're talking with someone and you said that you're actually, let me pivot a little bit. I want to get into more of your superpower around that you're going to go just meet people. Okay. Give me an example of that working.
All right. So the biggest thing is I just opened up a new office here in Medford on a Main Street.
Is that Main Street behind you?
Yeah, Main Street's right outside.
All right. Well, if you're watching us on YouTube, we got a new camera set up, by the way. So you can check out our new camera setup. Just type in Sten Morgan on YouTube. You'll find our channel. But that's Main Street, Medford. So how has that helped?
So the one example is there's a store right down the road. I went into it, my wife. It's a men's boutique clothing store. The owners are my age. We ended up having like an hour-long conversation with them just because we had a lot of similar interests.
Right.
I knew they had a young kid. So I went in there a week later with my business card and was like, hey, have you ever thought about the idea of like paying your kid to help save some taxes for your company? And they looked at me and said, funny, we actually talked about that this past weekend. And it kind of flipped the switch from a friendly conversation to, hey, here's some value we can bring you right away. And then 2 weeks later, we met with them again, quoted them a plan fee, and they're now a planning client.
Right. I think something that advisors need to really take in to consume and understand and own is that there's a lot of things that people have heard about, but they haven't done. Right. So it wasn't like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. That's life changing. I've never heard of that in my life. You know, it's one thing to see it on a YouTube video or a short or whatever. And it's another to like actually implement it. Right. Mm-hmm. Or read it in a book. Right. And so I think that that's something that when people talk about like, hey, how do you really justify the planning fee? I think it's a lot of it is implementation. Certainly some of it is discovery and it's new ideas, but a lot of it is, I'm just going to make sure you get it done. I mean, this is the world of personal training, mm-hmm. right? But if people were just supposed to do what they're supposed to do, there would be no personal trainers in the world. People would just go work out, right? There would be no coaches. Exactly. You would just run the play, right? Yeah. But you know, people need people to help them finish the task. Tell us a little bit about your team, how it's made up, and what do you like about the way it's made up?
Yeah, so the team right now, it's my mentor, Jared. He's like the owner of our Being Financial, and he's the lead planner in the CFP. I'm the associate planner /, like I said, head of client acquisition. And then we have a virtual practice manager since I'm in New Jersey. Jared's in Virginia. We run most things virtually. So our practice manager is also virtual because she's down in Texas.
Okay, awesome. When I talk to you about charging a plan, what comes to your mind in relation to who you want to work with, how much that ideal fees, you know, is probably going to be for you?
So when it comes to charging a plan, I feel like it really comes down to the discovery in that first meeting to find out exactly what their needs are, so you could quantify some value. And then from there, that helps justify the plan fee. If I have a first meeting with somebody and we can only show like a $10,000 value add to them, I'm not going to charge them $10,000 for a plan.
Right. You're going to charge them nine. I'm just kidding. So wouldn't that be great though? You're like, I'm only going to charge you $9,900. So you make $100. So when you think about your ideal situation, what is that person's situation? What do they have, but then don't have that you can help them?
I mean, the ideal situation right now is a business owner who's kind of a young professional, 30s, 40s, who maybe has like 5 years of their business running that needs some help making their business more efficient, optimizing their retirement plans, working on some tax strategies. That's kind of the main person I'm going at now, just because I want someone I could grow with being a young advisor. It's obviously nice to get someone who's 65 about to retire, but I find right now it's easier for me to relate with someone closer to my
demographic. And frankly, you know, we talk about this a lot in our live trainings, is if you take sort of a large circle and you take the slice of people that are that a vast majority of advisors are going after, and it's people that are very, very near retirement and or really ready to just move money, and they have to move money because they've lost a job or moved a job or whatever, right? And it's such a small slice that when you can expand it to, hey, I'm fine with a younger client, right? Or even just someone that's not in their 60s, you know what I mean? You know, it's sort of like asking a running back, like, what kind of situation do you like to be? It's like, oh, I like to be on the 1 yard line. You know, like, well, no kidding, because you don't have to go a yard, you know what I mean? So getting outside of that and having some confidence, I think it's interesting, because if, you know, most advisors are trained to go after, you know, sort of the, I would quote unquote, easy money. But when you're getting paid for your time and ideas, I don't mean this to sound flippant, but there's easy money in other places, right? Now, I'm not saying don't get AUM. I'm not saying don't sell insurance policies. What I am saying is that there's a lot of people that are being looked over because maybe they don't even have investable assets, right? And you're like, that's fine. I don't need you to invest assets with me. I want to help your financial situation. There's more things to talk about. Tell me a couple people, Nate, that you partner with that are helpful to you when it comes to your idea partners. Like, do you think, man, I would not want to do financial planning unless I had these people in my back pocket?
So definitely, I know in my office in Newark, Delaware, there's a couple of guys I work with there who are great, like, investments. That's his superpower. If I have a question, go to him.
Yeah.
Outside of that, there's some CPAs I work with locally and an estate planning attorney that have been essential to some of our recent clients, that without them, I could pitch great ideas, but helping with implementation, they're lifesavers at the end of the day.
So here's a pitch that I want people to understand. And this is, you know, this is, you know, I mean, I think your fee range right now is, you know, 2 to 6,000. Your average fee is around $4,000. So, you know, this is very quickly going to be a six-figure vertical of your business and just fees alone. I'm curious, for those who are really serious about doing this, walk me through an example of how you would utilize one of your idea partners in a way that the client feels really served and you do as minimal work as necessary. Like, your job, and I don't mean that, not because you're tricking anybody, but it's like, listen, I'm not a CPA. I'm not a state attorney. But my job is to find the need, make the introduction, and then clarify the need, and then away they go. So give me an example of that, how that's come to fruition for you. And maybe find an example where you say, listen, I just threw out this idea, CPA, boom, done. You have some examples like that?
So the one big example is just with the estate tax planning. we have a couple of clients who are higher net worth that can get affected by the changes in tax laws coming in the near future. So we pitched, hey, this change can happen. This is the number figure that could eat into your inheritance to your kids. Mm. Here's an estate planning attorney we work with. We connected with them. And then they hold the meeting with the estate planning attorney. We just sit there on a Zoom call with them just as another vote of confidence. And we really don't say a word. We just sit back and let the estate planning attorney do their thing.
Right. What is the attitude of the estate planning attorney, you know, when you guys are on the phone without the client? I mean, what are they grateful? Are they, you know, do they teach you a lot? Like, what's your relationship like with that idea partner?
So right now they're pretty busy. So they are grateful and they teach us some things, but I know in the future when things slow down, there'll be more kind of idea sessions with them. Uh-huh. Right now it's been a lot of, hey, here's a client with a need. Can you help us out? And we kind of learn from them in the meeting instead of having kind of these little like luncheons or one-on-ones outside of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's two birds with one stone. Right? You don't have to have an idea planning meeting. It's just sit in on the meeting and learn. Do clients give you the credit for the introduction, though, because they didn't know about it and have that person in their life before you made the introduction?
They definitely do. And they're usually very grateful just because a lot of these people who are higher net worth have no time or their time's consumed by 10 different things.
Yeah.
Us coming in and being that mediator to help them get there.
Yeah.
They're extremely thankful and they see value that we've got.
Yeah. I mean, the foundation of what we teach in EA at EAN is that you are the quarterback. You're the project manager, right? You're connecting people that have all these needs and helping each other. And in the process, you get help as well. So it's not that you have all necessarily the workload. It's just you have to know who to hand it off to at the right times. I want to ask a couple more questions about your ability to connect with people. Is that something that comes natural to you?
I would say so. I've been in sports since I was in kindergarten, and most of my teams playing high level of travel, I'd be the only person on the team that I would know in the beginning of the year. So I've always been in situations where I'm surrounded by people I don't know.
Okay.
So I think it's been a natural progression over my entire lifetime.
So give me some practical things that if someone feels like that's not their superpower, but they want to get better at it, they want to get better at connecting with strangers. What does that look like? Give them some practical tips.
I mean, I guess the easy practical tips would be if you're into some sport or you want to get into like a pickleball league, that's the easiest way to go in and it's friendly competition. You're kind of distracted for a majority of the time actually doing the sport. So you're not talking to someone constantly and draining your social battery. besides that, I mean, there's so many like meetup and entrepreneurial meetups around the areas, especially if you're near a major city.
But how do you come off as not sounding like, hey, I just want to talk to you and figure out if you have money or not? I mean, what are the things that you do to be more effective in connecting with people in a way that's genuine?
Trying to think, since it's so natural, it's tough because like I just go in and I just ask questions about their livelihood instead of kind of talking about myself. Just let them do the talking, and like let them make sure they feel heard.
Yeah. I'm not remembering. It might have been for one of our products that we have online, but I think it was might have been a podcast episode. But we talk about I know what it was. It was in Sten's book that we're working on. And it was basically that you want to find out as much information about them as possible. One, because it could give you a window into prompting a good planning idea. And then two, people like to talk about themselves. You know, I mean, people love that phrase. Oh, they're a really easy person to talk to. It's very rarely you say they're a really easy person to listen to because people would rather talk about themselves. Right. So I want to ask you right now, you know, your planning business is growing. For someone who is listening to this, is thinking about coming to our training and being part of the community, what are the things that we focus on that we have sort of forced you to do that? Because as I recall, you were doing some planning before we connected, right?
Yeah. Before we connected, I think averaged like 2 to 3 plans a year.
Okay. So what is it that is, you know, because our goal is to work with people that are excited, but just need more encouragement, help, direction, need to be equipped with really practical things. So what is it that you're implementing that we've been able to drill into you that you said, you know, I'm going to do that, and it's paying off? What are those things?
The biggest thing is focusing on the elite path. So like the first few years, I was just calling as many people as possible, where now I kind of built out a dream, like 100 list of people I want to work with. And that's right. My main focus. So I'm doing more quality interviews instead of the quantity of them.
Right.
The second thing is, you know, expediting my progress. Like I just opened up this new office. If you asked me to do this before I joined EAN, I probably would have done this 2 or 3 years down the road. Mm. I wouldn't have done it as soon, but I know for my growth, it's just going to equal a greater return quicker.
Yeah. Have you made decisions that you feel like you sort of write a check you can't cash yet, and so you got to work your way into it? I mean, you talked about a planning client you got because you were on Main Street. I assume they're not going to pay your whole rent for the whole year, right? And yeah. So is getting an office quicker than later, raising your planning fee? Are those things that sort of pull you forward and say, well, I'm gonna take the step, even though I don't feel like I'm ready, but then you sort of live, you grow into that bigger step. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely does. And I love living outside my comfort zone. So doing something like this is where I thrive. But it's also, like you said, I wouldn't be hitting certain levels unless I did this, because it would have been more stagnant growth.
Right, right. Well, and that's really our goal, right, is how people recognize and reach their potential faster. And I appreciate the way that you have owned that. And I would just suggest this. You know, I was thinking about a conversation I had with an advisor that's been in the business for 20-some years, and I guarantee they're not listening because they thought we were kind of wacko. But we brought someone in to speak, and they discredited that person, even though that person was having more success than them. Because the person had not been in the business as long as them. And success is not always just money. Success can be you have the kind of business you want, right? You have the freedom you want. You're working with the people that you want to work with. And so I just would encourage those who are listening or watching that there are so many people you can learn from and things you can learn to do that really will change the trajectory of your business. And I would say 12 to 18 months, you could be in a really radically different place. And just try to be self-aware of how much you're holding on to what you're doing. And by doing that, you're not able to grab something else. And Nate, I had someone email me today, just thinking about this fresh in my mind. And they were interested in the event. And they said, well, this is what I do. How is the event going to help me do that? And the answer is, well, the event's not going to help you do that more. It's going to help you do something else better. But the funny thing is, we do this, right? We base it upon where we're at versus where we want to be. This person was holding on to what they knew instead of actually going to what they wanted, which was really weird. I was like, well, what do you want? I know where you are, but what do you want? You know, it's sort of like saying I'm lost. I'm like, but you don't know where you want to go, and so how do you know you're lost, right? I feel lost. Let me ask you this. We'll wrap with this. What's your dream, your hope? What's your plan for your planning business as it develops over the next 4 or 5 years? More people, you know, getting a specific kind of client to work with. What does your business look like in 4 to 5 years if you continue down the path you are, focusing on planning and working with those younger clients?
Definitely, I would say in 4 to 5 years, I would want definitely a 6-figure planning practice.
Sure.
Where, you know, there's good referrals coming in from relationships I built already, that it's not as much of a grind to get the one client. I want probably would get a higher level of clientele where it's a business owner, but there may be more investable assets or even like a slightly bigger business. Right now, it's a lot of like Main Street small businesses. I know there's different levels, definitely growing to cater to a higher clientele in that aspect. But that's probably the main thing, is just focusing on like building the planning side, where that's like the main focus of my practice, because that's where the ideas and value really comes for the clients.
Yeah. And that's radically different than a lot of people, but those who listen to the show understand that, you know, that's in our perception to be, in opinion, to be the elite path, is you just stop giving your time and ideas away. I mean, you can't just go in and meet with your therapist or a doctor or a lawyer. And, you know, like that's valuable time. Their time has value. Right. And so we hope that you who are listening or watching believe that about yourself, but not just believe that, but are acting upon it. And so, Nate, I want to thank you for your time and thank you for your example. Obviously you're starting the business in a way that most people aren't, where you're already, you know, this early in and charging for your time and ideas. And getting clarity on the direction you want your business to go, getting out of that sort of surviving stage quicker than most are and have. So congratulations on your success. Thanks for letting us be a part of it. We will continue to coach and encourage you along the way. And I thank you for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Andy. Thanks for everything.
Thanks.